as you hear what it means to trust in the Lord, I want you to leave this place with the determination that you're going to exercise your faith more, that you're going to trust God more. And so let's look at some of the Old Testament blessings. And again, from five Old Testament verses, the blessings that result from trusting in the Lord. The first verse we'll use is the one that we read, Psalm 2, verse 12, for our scripture reading tonight. And again, just the last phrase of verse 12, where it says, "Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." And before I get to say what I want to say, I want you to notice that little word, all. Blessed are all they that put their trust in the Lord. Nobody is excluded. The Bible says that everybody that puts their trust in God will be blessed. And that word blessed means happy. Not happy as we usually think about it today, happy as the results of happenings. You see, a lot of people are not happy unless the things that are happening in their life are happy. That's not what that word blessed means. That word blessed or happy in this verse means what goes on in our heart because God has worked in our life. What is on the inside because God has done his work. It's the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 5 for the Beatitudes when it says blessed are, over and over again. And some of the things that are mentioned in Matthew chapter 5 are not happy things. I mean, they are things that the world today wouldn't put in the happy category. But when God works in our life, we could have that inner happiness that doesn't depend on what's happening. It just depends on our relationship with him. And so one of the blessings that we get by trusting in the Lord is that inside happiness that we can have regardless of what's going on around us. Blessed. All right? Psalm 5:11. You don't need to turn to these. I'll read them for you. But Psalm 5:11 says this, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful to thee." And so that verse teaches us that one of the blessings we get when we trust in the Lord is that we don't have to worry about any enemy or about any foe. We are defended by God. When I put my trust in him, he becomes my defender. And that word defendest in Psalm 5:11 means protecteth, and it literally means to cover. To cover. And you'll see why that's kind of neat in just a minute. You know, there's been a lot of things in the news recently about bullying that goes on at school. And again, and I know none of our kids are involved in that, but it's wrong, it's not right. And if you are being bullied and haven't told anybody, you need to tell somebody. You need to talk to your mom and your dad, and you need to tell them what's going on at school. When I went to school, I always made sure that my friends were big. I picked out the biggest guy in the class. And as long as he wasn't as mean as the devil, I tried to make him my friend. Because if I ever got into a skirmish, I never got into fights when I was in school. The reason was my mother was the high school principal's secretary, and if she heard that I got into a fight, I'd get it worse at home than anything that happened in a fight. So I never had fights, but I got into skirmishes. And I always wanted to have one of my friends be the biggest guy in the class because he became my defender. He became my protector. I tell you tonight, I'm glad that I have God as my defender. I'm glad that I have God as my protector. I'm glad that he covers me. Because when he does, and as he does, there's no enemy, no foe on earth or below the earth or in the prince of the power of in the air that I have to worry about because my God is bigger and stronger than any other enemy that comes against me. And when I trust in him, I have the promise of the blessing of his protection. Next verse, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. When I trust in God, this verse tells me that God gives me perfect peace. The New Testament talks about it when it says the peace that passeth understanding. The peace that the world can't understand. The peace that the Christian has in God. The peace that the Christian has in Jesus Christ that the world can't understand because they haven't experienced it. There's no way that we can describe the peace that we can have in God to somebody that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. There's just no way. Because it's beyond their understanding. And you have to experience it for yourself to know what I'm talking about. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, you know Jesus as your Savior. You came to him and asked him to save you after what he did on Calvary for us and paying for every sin. You have that peace. And this verse says that we don't have to keep ourselves in it, that if we trust in him, he'll keep us in it. I was thinking this afternoon, how much money and trouble could the world save if they just come to this one verse, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, and know that by trusting in God, they can have perfect peace. Because that's what most people in the world are looking for. They're looking for peace. Looking for peace. And they pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to go see psychiatrists and psychologists. And they help people. But the peace that comes from God is the peace that's perfect, as described in this verse, and the peace that passeth understanding that you don't get anywhere else. I mean, you can try the things of the world and you can try the people of the world, but until you come to the one that is the author and the giver of that peace, you won't know what I'm talking about. You won't know what I'm talking about. And so the blessing that comes with trusting God, another one, is that peace that he keeps us in. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. This verse says that if I trust in the Lord, he will give me a place to dwell, a home. And it says verily, and that word, when the Bible uses the word verily, God's trying to get our attention. And he sort of clapped his hands and says, hey, listen up. What I'm about to say is true. What I'm about to say is something that you can bank on, something that you can count on. And he says, if you trust in me, I will make sure that you are fed. I was talking to somebody today about that cruise ship that had a fire and lost all its power and was out at sea for 4 or 5 days and didn't have any light and didn't have any energy to cook. And they were telling me that one of the things they ate was hot dog salads. Only the dogs weren't hot. So you can't say hot dog salads. You got to say cold dog salads. And some of you might not know what I'm talking about. You know how sometimes you get a salad and you put chicken on it? Well, they put cold dogs. Who said that? Stay out of my preaching. They put cold dogs on it. And I told this person that I was with, I said, well, I don't know if I could eat cold dog salads or not. Maybe I'd just fast. And then I came to my senses and realized that, no, I couldn't do that for 4 days. I'd probably have to try those cold dog salads. But listen, what this verse says is that if I trust in the Lord. He says, hey, I'll make sure, I'll feed you. I will make sure that you are fed. And again, let me just expand it a little bit. We mentioned the verse this morning in the book of Philippians, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ, or by Christ Jesus. And just think about that. That's what this verse is saying. God knows what we need. And he says, look, you don't need to worry about it. We quote that other verse this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He knows what we need. He knows we need to eat. He knows we need a place to live. He knows we need clothes to wear. And I'm glad that verse doesn't say, well, I'll supply all your needs according to what you got in the bank or according to your riches. I'm glad it says, I'll supply all your need according to my, God talking, my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the cupboards in heaven never go bare. The well in heaven never goes dry. There is an abundant supply that God will use to meet the needs of his people. And we just need to know that we shall be fed. And our needs will be met. And that we can't our needs will never outstrip the supply that God has. And when we trust him, he will meet our needs. One more. Psalm 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. And what that verse says is when I trust the Lord, when I trust God, he will guide me. He will show me the way that I should walk. You know, many of you have these little devices. They work on a global positioning system, and they have different names. In some cars are known as OnStar, and others you have little handheld devices. But you punch in where you are, and then you punch in where you want to go. And then most of them will give you directions on how to get there, okay? Now, I told you before, someone in our church who will remain nameless did not like a woman telling him where to go, and so he changed the voice to a man. Is that still true, Brother Leonard? Oh, sorry. I'm just teasing. you have these little things. You punch in where you are, where you want to go, and then it'll tell you turn by turn, street by street, how to get from where you are to where you want to go. What this verse says, if I trust in God, he will give me a spiritual turn-by-turn guide. And I want to tell you something. What we get from God is a whole lot better than anything that man could provide. Because most of us, from a spiritual sense, don't really have a clear understanding of where we are. And most of us, from a spiritual sense, don't really know where we need to get. And because we don't know where we are, and we don't know where we want to go, we have no idea how to get there. But praise God, when I trust him, he knows exactly where I am in my spiritual walk. He knows exactly where he wants me to get because he's the one that made me, has a plan for my life, and has a place picked out for me to serve him, to be what he wants me to be. And so he knows where I am, and he knows where I need to be, and he sure knows how to get me there. And if I trust him, he will show me the steps that I should take. He will show me the way that I should walk. And so the blessing that I get from trusting in the Lord is that he will guide me. He will guide me. All right, so that's five verses. And I'll be honest with you, I just scratched the surface. There's hundreds of verses in the Old Testament that talk about trusting the Lord. And many of them have blessings associated that spell it out just like these five verses did. I trust in the Lord and I am blessed. I trust in the Lord and He defends me. I trust in the Lord and He will keep me in His perfect peace. I trust in the Lord and He will meet my needs. I trust in the Lord and He will show me the way to go. And again, there's thousands of more verses in the Old Testament that talk about trusting the Lord and the blessings that come along with them. And so I'd encourage you. I mean, get your concordances this week. Look up the word trust, and then look up the verses, and again, just stay in the Old Testament. Look up the verses that have the word trust in, and make a list of the blessings that God promises to those people that trust Him. You'll be amazed. I had 25 of them. I had to narrow my list down to 5 because I knew I wouldn't have time for any more than 5. At 25, and I got to go on, but just try it. And God says, there's blessings that come when you trust me. Now, let me go to the second part of my message. What does it mean to trust the Lord? Many of us have never learned. Oh, we understand it partially. We get a piece of it, but we don't get the whole picture of what it means to trust the Lord completely, absolutely, 100% all the time. And tonight, I offer you a 4-part definition. A 4-part definition of what it means to trust the Lord. Number one, trusting the Lord means I take refuge in Him. I take refuge in Him. Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible says, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Boaz, in this verse, Boaz was talking to Ruth. They had just met. Ruth had gone to work in one of Boaz's field, and he had extended some kindnesses to her. He said, "Hey, stay by my men. I've told them to watch out for you. When you get thirsty, go, you know, take a drink out of the bucket that they've drawn from the wells." And Ruth went back to Boaz and says, "Why are you being so kind to me? I'm a stranger." And Boaz said this. He said, "I've heard what you've done since your husband died, how you left your father and your mother and the land that you were born in, how you've come here with your mother-in-law. You've come to a people that you don't know, to a God that you don't know, and you've come to that God depending on Him to take care of you." And that verse in Ruth uses the words, "under whose wings thou art come to trust." And it paints the picture of a hen who, when she sees a storm approaching, gathers up her little chicks and places them underneath her wings and protects them until the storm passes. Trusting in the Lord means that when storms and trials and heartaches come into my life, and when they come into your life, that we run to the Lord and we get under His wings and we let His wings cover us and He defends us and protects us. And that verse that we looked at in Psalm, remember when it says, "He defendest us, He protects us." What that word really means is, I'm covered by Him. I'm covered by Him. And to trust in the Lord means that we run nowhere else for refuge. We depend not on our own strength. But when those things come into our life that we cannot fight ourselves, that sometimes we can't even understand, we run to God and we get under the refuge of His wings. Trusting in the Lord means, number two, that we lean on Him. In Psalm 56, verse 3, the Bible says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." You say, "Preacher, doesn't that mean the same thing as the first one?" No. No, listen. There's a little bit more involved in this one than the first one. When the storms, trials, and heartaches come, I not only run for refuge, I not only get under his wings, but I want to get close enough to him that I can lean on him. You see, it's more personal than just my defense. It's more personal than just my protection. It's more personal than just getting under the cover of his wings and his protection. It means I want to get close enough that as I'm under his wings, I can lean on him. I remember one time when I was a little kid, and my memory was enhanced because my grandmother and I talked about this a few days before she died. But I remember one time when I was a little kid, 4 or 5 years old, and I was spending the night with her. They lived on the east side of Detroit, and I'd go over and spend Friday night and Saturday night, go to church with them on Sunday, and then come home on Sunday afternoon. And my grandmother would always put me into bed with her and tell me a Bible story, and then she had a little pallet or a little cot that she'd put next to her bed, and after the Bible story, I'd get on that little pallet and sleep there beside her bed. And I remember one night when a thunderstorm came up, and they didn't have air conditioning. This was in the summer, so the window was open. And when it started raining, she had to get up and shut the window. But this was the kind of storm where the lightning just kept coming. It was just flashing and flashing and flashing. And the thunder was just booming. I mean, it was just going, you know, boom, 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 one peal after another. And it was raining hard, and like I said, when it started to rain, she had to get up and shut the window, but you could just hear the rain beating on the window. It just seemed like it was going to come through the window. And again, I was 4 or 5, as she reminded me, and a big lightning flash came, and a big thunder boom boomed, and I got scared. And I said, "Grandma, could I get in bed with you?" And she lifted up the covers and said, "Come on, get underneath the covers." And I lay there for a minute, and another couple flashes of lightning, another couple booms of thunder, and I was still scared. And I said, "Grandma, would you hug me?" Put her arm around me, drew me close. That's what I'm talking about, trusting in the Lord. It's not only getting underneath the cover, it's saying to God, "Would you hug me? Could I lean on you?" Trusting in him means to get under his cover, means to get close enough to lean. Number three, trusting in the Lord means to roll on him what he alone can carry. In Psalm 22, verse 8, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. "Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him." That means the things that come into my life that I can't solve, that I can't fix, that I can't figure out what to do, I need to roll on to him. Or as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." If I trust in the Lord, I won't keep those things to myself. That's why worry is a sin. Worry is a sin because God says, "Look, there's going to be things. There are going to be things that come into your life, and you won't be able to handle them. I want you to trust me, so that when those things come, you can just give them to me. Just give them to me. Roll them on to me. Cast them on me. I do care for you." And when we worry, here's what we do. We keep what God wanted us to give back to him. He didn't send them into our life so we'd keep them. That's not the kind of God that we have. He sends them into our life so that we have the opportunity to trust him and say, here they are. I don't know what to do. I can't figure it out. I can't fix it. I can't handle it. So I'm giving it back to you. I'm casting it on you. I'm trusting you enough to give it to you and to not take it back. And that's what we do a lot of times. Oh, we give it to the Lord. We come to the altar, we give it to the Lord, and when we get up to go back to our seat, we pick up what we should leave right there with God and take it back with us. And we worry. And worry's a sin. And you may never thought about it like this before, but worry's a sin because we're keeping what God expected for us to give back to him. And that's the only reason he gave it to us in the first place. So that we would give it back to him. Trusting in the Lord means I give those things back to him. And then number four, trusting in the Lord means that I stay up on him. Job chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job lost all his wealth, and yet he still trusted God. He lost his children, and yet he still trusted God. He lost his health, and yet he still trusted God. He was accused by his friends. He said, oh, Job, you must have committed a terrible sin for God to allow all this stuff to come into your life. And yet Job still trusted God. He was discouraged by his wife. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? And he still trusted God. He came to the point and he said, if God slay me, I mean, he's taken everything else that I have, and if he wants my life, I am still going to trust him. And that's what it means to trust him. It means when illness comes and when we're forsaken by friends and when sorrow comes and when heartache comes and they just keep coming and coming and coming and coming and we look to God and said, how much more is there going to be? I don't know if I can take much more. How much more are you going to let come? How much more are you going to sin? Trusting in the Lord means I stay and I keep trusting and keep trusting and keep trusting and keep trusting. It doesn't matter how much heartache comes. It doesn't matter how much sorrow comes. It doesn't matter how much it hurts. It doesn't matter who leaves and who stays. We keep trusting in God and stay. So what does it mean to trust God? It means I take refuge and I get close enough that I can lean. And I cast all my cares upon him because he gave them to me in the first place so I could give them back to him. And then I stay. I stay. Regardless of what he sends into my life, I stay. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't please your God unless you learn to trust him. You can't. You can't. We sing the song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Have you trusted him tonight? You know, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to, it's the first step of trust that you need to make. You need to understand that you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is death, separation from God. and that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin on Calvary. And if you'll trust him, if you'll trust him, and again, just put the definition that I gave you tonight. If you'll come and get under his wings, close enough to lean, and roll all your sins upon him, he'll save you. He will. If you just ask him, he'll save you. And if you're here tonight and you've never done that, that's the first step of trust you need to take. Is ask Jesus to save you. Don't care who you are. Don't care how many times you've been here. 100 times. If you don't know Jesus, you need to ask him to save you. I know most of us here tonight are Christians. We've already made that decision. We prayed and asked Jesus to save us from our sins. And he's done it. We have a home in heaven. But we need to learn to trust him. We need to learn to trust him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to our hearts tonight. And I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, tonight would be the night they see their sin, the penalty for that sin, and they would see the price that Jesus paid, and they would come and receive him tonight. Trust him for their salvation. And then, Holy Spirit, I pray you speak to our hearts as Christians. Help us to trust God more. Help us to exercise our faith more. Help us to understand that's how we please you. That's how we please you, by trusting you more. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.